From the Subaru of Gwinnett Studio, this is Injury Insider with Derek Hayes. Injured in Georgia? Make the right call to the law office of Derek M. Hayes at 404-777-HURT. Injury Insider is presented by Status Home Design, your one-stop shop for all your home and gift needs.
Hello and welcome to Injury Insider with Derek Hayes on Business Radio X. We are broadcasting live from the Subaru of Gwinnett Studio in the Sonesta Gwinnett Place Atlanta Hotel. This show will answer legal questions and debunk personal injury myths with insight and expertise. For 25 years, Derek Hayes has exclusively represented injured parties in Georgia. Now, he'd like to put that knowledge to work for you. My name is Lita Brooks, and it's my pleasure to introduce the star of the show, Derek Hayes.
Good afternoon.
Morning. Oh, is it afternoon? Yeah, we're saying the same thing.
I think we're afternoon at this point, so yes, we'll go with it.
We're in studio. I can't really tell what time it is in here. All right, before we begin, a quick reminder that Injury Insider is brought to you by the Status Market and Design, your one-stop shop for all your home and gift needs, and by the law offices of Derek M. Hayes. Injured in Georgia, make the right call to the law offices of Derek M. Hayes at 404-777-HURT. Well, welcome back.
Yeah, it's great to be back.
Because we now in podcast world, shows go back to back to back. But in our life, we have been on a 3-month hiatus.
Yes, we have. There's been a lot going on in 3 months.
I can't say it's good to see you because I see you every day. But it's good to see Mike. Producer Mike is here with us. We have not been in the studio for 3 months. Derek, you've got some changes.
Yes,
I'm teasing with the law offices.
I was about to say there's one letter in that beginning, that opening that's changed, and that's the addition of the letter S.
That's right.
Because during the course of time in the last 3 months, we have opened my second location in Watkinsville, Georgia, which, if you're not familiar, it's right outside of Athens, Georgia, where the University of Georgia is located. It's now my second office. My main office is still in Lawrenceville, Georgia, which is the perimeter of Metro Atlanta. But this is really a cool place because Watkinsville is a relatively small town. It's the county seat for Oconee County. I'm a block away from the courthouse, and it's what you imagine when you think of an old-time law office.
Yes.
It's a home built in the 1870s.
It's very charming.
Right, right. And it's hardwood floors, beautiful home. You've got the main floor.
I was going to say I'm
going to brag
store,
about you.
Right.
Because you've got a retail store on the main floor, and then upstairs is my law firm.
Yes.
I've got plenty of room to do my work and multiple rooms, I guess you would say, with a conference room and my own office and other spaces there that I utilize. But it's just great. It's a small town feel. And I'm dividing my time now between that office and my other office in Lawrenceville. And with technology nowadays, things that actually happened during the course of COVID that have improved our ability to do work from home and now do work remotely from a second office and still stay connected directly to my main office.
When before COVID would you have ever sat on a Zoom to do a mediation?
Never. I had clients fly in from all over the country for mediation here. In fact, one was a wrongful death case. I'll never forget. They flew in from New York. The gentleman that unfortunately was killed in a car wreck was here on vacation. And the case wound up being filed here because the defendant was a Georgia resident. And the rest of the family flew in for the mediation. And we started on 8 o'clock in the morning. We had it scheduled for 2 days because we expected it to be that long. And it was probably 11 o'clock at night the second day before we finally were able to get it resolved and close the case. But they were supposed to fly out that same day. So they were continually calling and changing flights and had to add a night to their hotel. And that's all expense and time. Mm-hmm. And that very easily could have been resolved with Zoom.
Right. So, but now, they weren't done.
Right, exactly. And now with Zoom, we can do depots, we can do mediations, even hearings are being done by Zoom. And some courts are now starting to bring us back in person. In fact, if you recall, I called you earlier this week, and Monday of this week. I called you kind of sort of excited because as an attorney, these are the things we love. And that is, I'm finally on a trial calendar again. Finally.
Well, give your listeners from where we are right now. We are taping at the beginning of March 2022. And when was the last time you were on a trial calendar?
Well, the courts in Georgia were officially closed from March of 2020 for 122 days because of COVID. absolutely nothing was happening. No hearings, no trials, nothing, especially in the personal injury world. Now, there were certain criminal things that had to go because, you know, under our Constitution, you're entitled to a speedy trial. Well, that's for criminal cases, not for civil cases. So for civil lawsuits, which is what I do, personal injury claims and medical malpractice, wrongful death, all is a civil action, we took the back burner. You have criminal cases, you have courts of equity, which would be injunctions, restraining orders, TPOs, protective orders, those kind of things. But you also have domestic cases, child custody cases. All of that takes priority, and then they get to personal injury trials. So the last time I appeared on a trial calendar was back, if I remember correctly, January of 2020. And that was a case that would have gone to trial probably around April or May of 2020. And, of course, it didn't happen. And now, as I said, they're starting slowly to open the courts back up. And it is a kind of a moment of excitement. I'm back on a trial calendar. It's not until March 21st, I think it is the Monday. And there's a chance they won't get to my case because I'm pretty low on the calendar. But ultimately, it's kind of an exciting thing to know we're finally getting to do what we love to do.
Over 2 years.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, congrats.
Yes. Now, we've still been working cases and settling cases and mediating cases.
I mean,
cases.
You've got more like going on Zoom. Than ever.
Right. But it's the thrill and the excitement of the courtroom, which I love. I love the courtroom.
We were just joking before we started taping that, I mean, I never see you. We may be a couple, but this is the first time we sat down to talk in a very long time.
In the middle of the afternoon, especially.
Of course. Derek is very, very, very busy. So we joke, oh, we live together, but I was sound asleep before you even came home from work last night.
Yeah.
So busy. All right, Derek, what are we going to talk about today?
So coming back in the studio, I was looking back over my prior podcast, and we've done 30-something podcasts at this point. I started thinking, what have I not done? And it's kind of hard to come up with an idea. Well, I realized that my website is being revamped, and I have never focused on my blog post on my website. I've pulled one here or there just to reference in a podcast about a different topic, but I've never pulled actual blogs and talked about blogs that are recently out there.
Sure.
And I'd love for people to go back and now check out my website. It's Derek, D-E-R-E-K, the letter M as in Matthew, and then Hayes, H-A-Y-S.com. So DerekMHayes.com. Go there. Start looking at the website. We're still in the process of updating some things, but go ahead and click on the blog link and go through my blog post. There are a lot there, and some of those addressed questions that have been posed about the podcast that I've addressed in the podcast. There are also topics that are relevant and things that are in the news, so to speak. In fact, the first one I've pulled to talk about today is based on something that was recently in the news, and we'll touch on it in just a second. But I would love for people to go and check out my website for the sake of reading some of the blog posts.
Oh, so absolutely.
I've pulled out four or five today that we can talk about.
Well, it's more content. And if you're a follower of Derek, which many, many, many people are, I haven't looked at the numbers because even though we've been on our hiatus, you've had over 10 million downloads. And that was 3 months ago. So I know you've got a big following and there's a lot of people that are following all this knowledge that you are so graciously sharing. And the podcast is just more knowledge.
And we can also see the hits on the website. It's designed so that we can know how many times it's been visited. And it's amazing how much that's increased over the last couple of years, which is great.
That's called your analytics.
The analytics, yes. Thank you. I wasn't going to use the big technical term, but okay, analytics.
And listen, anybody that does anything with computers or social media, we know our analytics.
Yes.
So anyway, didn't know if you would know that, but you learn something new every day. All right, so the first title, this is what we're going to jump right into.
Yes, yes.
This was
you can read the title.
On the news right now. What do you do after hitting your head in a slip and fall accident?
So as I talked about, sometimes I pull the blog topics directly from the news. And that has to do directly with the gentleman everybody referred to as America's dad.
Yes,
Bob Saget.
Mr. Bob Saget, who recently passed away.
It was January, I believe, middle of January or beginning somewhere around there, the beginning of January. But nonetheless, it made the news. It was something that was talked about, still talked about a lot on social media and things that have come out since the death. And what was released directly to the public was that he died from complications of a head injury. And in the autopsy, they reported it as saying he had, and I'm quoting, an unwitnessed fall backwards. So he apparently was by himself in a hotel room as the guest that they've put out there, and fell and hit his head. And that fall left very serious skull fractures, which also led to a traumatic brain injury and a subdural hematoma. So a subdural hematoma, I'm not a doctor, not a medical doctor for sure, but I do have to know these terms to take depositions frequently of doctors about cases. And a subdural hematoma is basically a blood buildup around the brain. And it can be very, very life-threatening, as we see, obviously, with Mr. Saget and what happened to him. But it's something that absolutely has to be addressed. But his tragic death, it kind of sparked and renewed the conversation about how serious head injuries are and what may seem like a very simple bump on the head, or, oh, yeah, I hit the corner of a table, or I hit the corner of a desk, or I landed and hit the back of my skull in a slip and fall, or whatever it may be, how serious that truly can be.
There was another celebrity that passed away. I know I don't want to jump into the whole thing, but I remember some newscaster was making the correlation. It was Liam Neeson's wife, Natasha Richardson. That she had had, she was conscious.
It was a skiing accident.
She was skiing, but fell and bumped her head. And I believe she went to the hospital out of precautionary. I'm not certain that she was severely injured outwardly and ended up passing away.
Yeah.
Again, what brought it up, and I would never make the correlation between those two, is they were saying that was very similar to what happened to Bob Saget is what had happened to her. So, again, just two separate celebrities, but we're talking about that this, you know, the commonality, because there's a stat here, and I want you to read it, you know.
And that's what I was addressing, okay, in that big number. And it's a really a huge number if you think about it. More than 61,000 people in our country die from brain injuries every year. 61,000 people. Now, some of those are extremely traumatic brain injuries, car wrecks, or, you know, falls from very high heights, things that clearly would cause a brain injury. But a lot of those are also what people would pass off as a minor bump on the head. Yeah, I tripped over a wire across the floor, and I bumped my head on the corner of the table. And, yeah, I was a little dizzy. I kind of laid on the floor for a minute, kind of got my wits about me again, and I got it. But I'm all right now. But yet they're having blurred vision, or they're having light sensitivity or sound sensitivity, or nauseated or vomiting, or those things that can be symptoms and signs of a much more traumatic problem. Post-concussive syndrome, if there was a concussion, if it's not treated appropriately or not addressed, can absolutely turn into a much more severe problem. And it can be very deceptive. A head injury itself can be something that you dismiss and you think, it's nothing serious. It's not that big of a deal. But intracranial bleeding can start, which is kind of what we're talking about with the subdural hematoma. And when that starts, it can lead to the subdural hematoma, the buildup of the fluid, the blood on the brain. And that can lead to the brain trauma that can continue to develop swelling and complications and lead to death.
So I know this about the brain, and I'm, you know, we have some medical things in my family, and with the brain swelling. So this is where my knowledge comes from. This is what the doctor explained to me. Because our brain is encapsulated in our skull, when you have the swelling, there's nowhere for it to go.
And there's pressure.
It's not like the other parts of our body where if you hurt your finger, it swells out. When you swell in your brain, it's all pressure, and there's really, truly nowhere for it to go but inward.
And when that pressure ruptures that blood deposit, you've got certain death in most cases, which is where the traumatic side of this can come from. So the real issue in this, and I kind of wrap up the blog post by talking about, you got to seek medical help. If you have a slip and fall and you've hit your head on the floor, on a desk or chair or table, whatever it may be, early intervention and getting that what you think is a minor bump on the head checked out can save your life. And make sure that you have appropriate rest and supervision while you're resting. Because a lot of people who have a bump on a head may go to sleep and never wake up again because the bleeding on the brain.
Unfortunately, that may be what happened to Bob Saget.
Right. He was alone.
He was alone.
He was absolutely alone in
the
hotel room.
Probably had some head pain and just thought, I'll just, you know, take some Tylenol and later. I mean, we don't know what he did.
Right.
Obviously, I'm not speculating. But in this situation, if that was my guess, let me pop a few Advil and lay down, and hopefully this headache will subside.
And if he did fall asleep and then woke up and needed help, there was nobody there to help him.
Yeah.
And of course, from the attorney standpoint, the purpose of the blog is to make sure that people understand that if you have had an injury as a result of somebody else's negligence, if you're in a commercial building or a retail store, whatever it may have been, and you've fallen because the floor was not was mopped, but there were no signs out, or because something was stretched across the floor that created a hazard, a defect. We've talked about that in a slip and fall podcast. Then treatment is the beginning of pursuing a potential claim, but you can't do it without documenting what's happened. And more importantly, getting that treatment to save your life potentially.
Well, the next topic, it flows right from the traumatic brain injury.
Correct.
Right? So I'm going to read the topic and you sort of do the lead in here. Four ways that a traumatic brain injury can affect your quality of life. So it's right on point with what we're talking about, but this is actually a whole nother blog post.
Right, right. I did this blog post on February 8th, this one that we're about to talk about, four ways. The one about Bob Saget was the 17th of February. So these have been successive blog posts. I keep saying podcast. Successive blog post. So when you're talking about a TBI, a traumatic brain injury, I do want to talk very quickly about the foundation of this. Back in 1848, there was a guy by the name of Phineas Gage. We don't have many Phineases now in the year 2022, but Phineas Gage suffered a severe brain injury that damaged his frontal lobe. He lived through the injury, but he was never really considered to be the same. He turned from a very responsible, pleasant person to a negligent, rude, aggressive person. His case is really one of the most well-known in the field of neuroscience because it helped establish that certain functions of the brain are associated with specific areas. The frontal lobe, the cortex, all those areas of the brain have certain things that they do for us. And his case was the first one to kind of separate those sections of the brain. And it means that the effects of a traumatic brain injury, a TBI, depend on what part of the brain region was damaged or was affected in the fall or in the blow to the head. In certain parts, you can develop a mental disorder. The TBI, the traumatic brain injury, can cause depression, post-traumatic stress disorder, even personality changes. And that's one. The second is you may experience language and communication problems. So we've heard the crazy stories about people that had a blow to the head and then they were from America, never had any accent other than maybe a southern or a northern accent, but they have a traumatic brain injury and suddenly start talking with a British accent.
What's interesting is as you're talking, and I'm sure every single person listening is doing this, I am going through all the people, which is many in my life, even just my immediate family, who have had traumatic brain injuries. Aunt friends, and I have a friend, older sibling. She was in a horrible car accident, and I remember her mother saying she was a completely different person.
Sure.
Before, everything, you know, my brother-in-law, fell backwards off a golf cart, and his never smelled, never mm-hmm. had a, that was it, lost his sense of smell.
That part of the brain was affected.
But so that's my point. Everything you're saying, I'm going, this person.
Sure.
So it's very relevant to the changes that can happen after.
Right, and the second one we're talking about, that you experience language or communication problems, if the part of the brain that's associated with speech is damaged, you may find it hard to communicate at all. Words can become jumbled, sentences can become incomprehensible. You just don't make sense. And people will say, they don't make sense anymore when mm-hmm. I talk to them. They're saying crazy things. That's because that part of the brain was affected by that traumatic event, that trauma. The third thing is your social circle will also potentially shrink. The desire, the ability, the wanting to hang out with certain friends or with any friends, you may lose some friends because you're not wanting to hang out anymore. It makes it hard for you to maintain those social ties. It could be colleagues at work that you're not getting along with anymore. It could be your family. If, again, that part of your brain is affected that controls your social element. And then finally, the crucial part of this in a TBI is treatment and rehabilitation. We've talked about that, but you've got to get this documented for the purpose of pursuing a potential claim if there was a negligent party that caused that traumatic blow to your head, to your brain. And a lot of people don't do that. They focus on, it's okay. It was just a bump on the head. Well, we've talked about that a while ago. there's nothing really to worry about. I'm okay. And they don't go and seek that treatment to find out exactly what's happened.
Or possibly if you are a loved one and you are so focused on the care in the treatment of your loved one, you're not necessarily focused on documenting it. This is a traumatic brain injury. If they've lost speech or they've lost motor ability in their extremity, I mean, mm-hmm. it could be very, very, very serious. So your main focus is physical care, the daily care of your loved one, and not necessarily how this will affect long term, and making sure you're documenting it so you can help if there's compensation there.
And there are also people too that with a financial thought in this, I can't afford to get treatment. I can't afford to go and pay those bills, not realizing that if this was an injury caused by someone else's negligence, those bills are going to be paid for as part of your claim. That is part of the recovery we'll seek, of course, as your attorney, to compensate you for what's happened to you if this was a result of somebody else injuring you.
So I want to give a personal story because I mentioned I don't know. I won't go who it is, but happened. Traumatic brain injury, helicopter flight, all this was happening. And I remember the number one question is, because there was a very, very significant brain injury that still affects to this day, are you going, you know, to seek compensation? And rightfully so. This was a negligent act. And the no. No, I'm not going to. I don't want to sue that person. That was my friend.
Yeah.
I know. Speak to that.
Right, because we've done
full shows on this.
And that's the part that you know, I wish people understood a little bit better, and they don't.
That's why I'm saying it again.
Right. When you're filing a lawsuit, and the reality is most claims are settled without having to file suit. And then if we do file suit, it's not that common to go to trial. Ultimately, the majority of cases that go into litigation are settled either by way of mediation or continued negotiation talks during the course of litigation. But that eventual settlement, that payment, that verdict doesn't come from the individual person. It's paid by their insurance coverage. That's why we have insurance. So if, you know, heaven forbid, I cause somebody to be injured as a result of a car wreck, I'm not the one that's going to be writing that check to compensate them for what I've done. It's going to be my insurance company, who I've written a check to for many, many years every time that premium bill has come due, because that's the purpose of carrying insurance. It's to ensure that if I do something wrong, they're there to compensate the person I've harmed.
I just think that's very relevant. I feel like in this podcast, that point you can't stress enough.
Right. You know? Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. And I do want to give a very, very quick story here, because it's something that is an example of what we just talked about with the different parts of the brain being affected. And I'll try and make it as quick as I can. So my mom, as you well know, was an Alzheimer's mm-hmm. patient, and she was in an Alzheimer's memory care facility. And one of the days we'd gone to visit her, and my dad was a preacher, and my mom played the piano, played the organ, virtually every church we had served. And so one of the afternoons, my kids and I had gone to visit. One of the ladies that worked there as a nurse, who we'd gotten to know very well, pulled me aside and said, "Did you know what your mom did today?" And of course, at that point, I was concerned and kind of scared too. And she said, "No, it's great. It's wonderful." She said, "Let me show you." And she walked in and grabbed my mom by the hand and took her to a piano that sat there in the gathering room at this memory care facility. And this was at the point where my mom didn't know my name. Didn't know her name, didn't know my kids' names. She thought I was a little boy that lived down the street and I'd come over to play. Her Alzheimer's had progressed to the point where it had stolen her memories from her. And the nurse sat her down at the piano and said, "Miss Joanne, can you play Amazing Grace?" And without any sheet music whatsoever, without any preparation, she sat there and played beginning to end the entire hymn. And then she said, "Well, can you play the old Rugged Cross, good old Southern hymn?" And without any music in front of her, she played that entire hymn beginning to end and didn't even know her name, but yet knew every note mm-hmm. to play it on the piano.
It was still in that part of the brain.
And it's because that part of the brain had not been affected yet by the horrible effects of Alzheimer's. Yeah. So that portion of the brain, going back to the compartmentalizing the sections of the brain, if that was not the part affected in a traumatic brain injury, she would still be able to do it, kind of like with the Alzheimer's.
Absolutely.
And it's amazing realization.
All right. We're going to move on. I love that story. Very sweet. All right. We're moving on to the third blog post that we're going to talk about today, but it leads right in. What are the long-term impacts of an injury?
A lot of people don't think about the long-term effects. You know, you may have a car wreck and you may have some initial injuries you realize and start treating for and diagnosed, and you go through, say, 3 or 4 months or 6 or 8 months of active treatment, and then you're released. And it may be a year, it may be 2 years, it may be 10 years down the road, there's still some long-term effects of that injury. It can cause emotional distress, it can cause physical and cognitive issues that can endanger your livelihood, it can endanger your well-being, it can affect not only you, but also those that are around you frequently, your family, your friends. And this applies to not only people who are drivers in a car wreck, it can also apply to passengers. It can be in a slip and fall case. It can be a dog bite case. It could be a medical malpractice case. So dealing with that lengthy recovery, I kind of gave some points to think about. Some of those injuries that can require years and years and years of rehabilitation. Number one, to stay on point, is a TBI, a traumatic brain injury. It can lead to, like we said, cognitive issues, ongoing support throughout the rest of your life. It can cause difficulty for someone to continue their job, what they've done for a living, to maintain a productive level of income and just being able to function on a day-to-day basis, doing those things that you would normally do. That's a traumatic brain injury. Well, let's talk about a back injury.
Okay.
Your spine is an extremely complicated part of your body. And if it's injured and you have nerve damage or chronic pain or, worst case scenario, some sort of paralysis, you're confined to a wheelchair or bedridden as a result of a traumatic brain or I'm sorry, back injury, all these issues can jeopardize, again, your ability to work, your ability to seek and receive ongoing medical treatment.
I mean, I don't know. I don't have back problems, but when I have tweaked just a little, and there's a slight back pain, it's debilitating.
Sure,
oh,
sure.
I mean, I said, you had to hobble me into your chiropractor friend one time. And I said, oh, I have so much appreciation for what people, and you hear mostly with car wrecks, right?
Right, right.
That you get
the back is probably the most common part of your body injury.
You just, that it can last a lifetime.
Right. As we get older, we're going to have aches and pains. We are. But a lot of science has now shown that playing sports as a young person, you know, throughout childhood, football, baseball, basketball, doesn't matter, those continued blows to the body can manifest themselves later on in life as severe pain. Mm-hmm. And you walk kind of hunched over, you have a difficult time straightening out in the morning. And I'm guilty of that. We all are.
A lot of bad knees.
Yeah, a lot of bad knees. You're exactly right. All right, to move on, bone injuries. You know, a broken bone can heal. It can reset. It can amazingly heal itself. But how about a compound fracture? A compound fracture where the bone actually comes out of the skin. Oh, I know it's awful, but it is what it is.
And
it's an injury that can occur in a very traumatic car wreck, for example. It can require multiple surgeries, medical intervention later on in life. It can affect the muscle groups, the development, blood vessels. It can lead to any kind of mobility or chronic pain issues through the rest of your life, but it's a matter of getting it treated and treated appropriately. But even still, there's going to be a long-term effect for it. You can never get back to 100% when you've had a traumatic brain injury, when you've had a traumatic back injury, when you've had a traumatic bone injury. And then finally, emotional distress. Emotional distress is one of those, it's kind of swept under the rug a lot. I've handled cases where, unfortunately, a mom was in a car when their child was killed in the car wreck. And their child, unfortunately, I hate to say it, but died in their arms right there on the side of the road. How can you ever get over that trauma as a parent? Think about that. It's one of those things that
I'm speechless.
Right.
Staring at you with sadness.
You can say, well, I can imagine that's got to be horrible. Well, no, you really don't know. You don't know.
And you don't want to know.
Right. And that psychological impact can, again, it will have a lifelong effect. You've got to have treatment for it. You've got to make sure that you're able to go through therapy or whatever needs to be done to address the emotional repercussions from that. You know, and it can be a lifelong thing. And in many cases, the one I gave is probably one of the most horrible examples I've ever had. But even just a run-of-the-mill car wreck, it can be difficult to get back behind the wheel again. It can be difficult to sit in the passenger seat again. If you were T-boned at an intersection right there on the passenger side door, you're always going to flinch as you go through intersections for quite some time. You're going to think about it. That's the emotional injury, the emotional distress.
I'm going to tell a little personal story about this. So I was, just a quick story, but it's lighter than the one you told. So my son was an infant, and he was in his car seat in the back, and a young girl, a teenage girl, ran a stop sign, and it ended up totaling the car. I didn't roll, but she spun me, and so it smashed both sides of the car because she spun me, and I hit. My son was an infant. He was in a car seat, and yet that accident was stuffed in his subconscious somewhere because he didn't have conscious, right? Mm-hmm. He was probably only 3 or 4 months old, and yet as he got older, started about 2 years old and lasted until he was about 6 years old, he had horrible, horrible panic attacks about only riding in a car. He didn't have them about going to sleep at night. He didn't have them about monsters. He had severe panic attacks from a car accident he had had as a baby.
Not even realizing.
A million years would have thought that that would have been emotional distress on my son. And I knew where it came from.
No, I get it.
It blindsided me as mom.
Sure.
But he went through it, and it was somewhere in his little tiny brain.
And having done this now for 25 years, I've seen countless examples of things just like that.
Yeah.
It's the kind of thing that we don't, you know, really think about unless you go through it. And I deal with it on a day-to-day basis. So I touched on three blog posts. We'll cover some more later on, but these were the last three in succession.
Well, and they all fit together beautifully.
Right.
You write beautifully.
Well,
thank you.
It's a purposeful thing because you want to continue that flow as the next blog post come out. But anyway, I do want to say, I want to stress that if any of these things are going on, you've been involved in a car wreck, any other kind of situation, a slip and fall, dog bite, we mentioned all the others, medical malpractice, give me a call. I'd love to talk to you and see what can be done to potentially help you out and seek compensation for what's happened, but also too, just as importantly, help you get that treatment you need. Far too often people don't seek that treatment, or in some cases the attorney they select doesn't help them find that treatment. My own son had a horrible concussion in sports, and I've dealt with the post-concussive syndrome issues. I've dealt with a concussion center and had my own child go to appointments with me sitting next to him for injections in the base of his neck because of the severity of the concussion. So I've been there. I've done that. I've seen that. And not only that, I've represented countless people that have gone through it. So if you have a question, please call. You can reach me by my website. There is a chat feature that'll pop up. You can send a question directly through the chat feature. You can also send me an email through the website. Again, it's Derek M. Hayes, D-E-R-E-K, the letter M, Hayes, HAYS.com. Send me any questions. Also, too, send me podcast topics. I'd love to discuss any questions you pose or a topic you'd like for me to cover in a future podcast. But reach out to me. My phone number is 678-225-0970 or 404-777-HURT. As we said, we do have two offices, downtown Lawrenceville, Georgia, or in Watkinsville, Georgia. You can also find my social media, Derek M. Hayes, my Facebook page, my Twitter page, and Instagram. So you can find me many, many ways.
You're on social media.
Yes, I am.
All right, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us on Injury Insider with Derek Hayes, presented by Status Market and Design and the law offices of Derek M. Hayes. Don't forget that you can enjoy any of these episodes anytime by visiting businessradiox.com, selecting the Gwinnett Studio, and then clicking on Injury Insider with Derek Hayes. This program is also available wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. Until next time, for Derek Hayes, I'm Lita Brooks, and you've been listening to Injury Insider on Business Radio X.